we sang that song there, Grace is a Charming Sound. And as we have been looking at Jacob, as Brother Al's been ably bringing this forth to us, if you want to see grace on display, then you need look no further than Jacob. For he certainly was a man who was given the grace of God. Even as the Lord uses him as the what you might say the poster child of his grace in the 9th chapter of Romans. He said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And who's sufficient for these things? I mean, what can you say about that? I mean, what can a man say? Now, most people get all up in arms, and we've talked about this before. Most people get all up in arms about the second part of that. Esau have a hate. I mean, no. No, that's just not possible. But think about that for a moment. So that's the part that we ought to have no problem at all with. Jacob ever hated? Why would he have loved Jacob? I mean, Esau. Why would he have loved Esau? There was no reason to love Esau. The amazing thing was that Jacob was worse than Esau. But the Lord loved him. Why did he love him? Because he loved him. And dear brethren, he is indeed an object of God's grace. And if any of us ever inherit one thing from the Lord, it will be because of His grace. Not one thing that we can do, say, or effort we can put forth that will change anything. It is the grace of God. Now, Paul, in the 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. And of course, as we've looked at this whole book from the beginning here, and now in the second chapter, Paul's laying the groundwork of the grace of God, and how that this is unfolded unto men, because it is impossible that a man could appreciate the grace of God if he's not been given eyes to see it and ears to hear it. Now, I believe this is a true thing, that those who are called by the Lord, taught of the Lord, they know that it is all of grace. Never been a sinner saved that doesn't know that it's all of grace. Now, the unfortunate thing is that there's a lot of people go out and start teaching folks something else. But every man that's ever been a sinner on his face before God, knowing that he deserves damnation and to be cast out of his presence, there's never been a sinner that was ever saved that doesn't know in the depths of his soul that it's all of grace. And anybody that will tell you different doesn't know the grace of God. Anybody that will argue against that doesn't know the grace of God. Now that's what Paul says right here. Because he says, none of the princes of this world knew who the Lord Jesus Christ was, or they would not have crucified if they knew what we know. Now, what he's talking about when he's talking about knowledge, it's not necessarily a head knowledge. It's not knowledge you get by going to school or sitting under the great ministry of some, you know, tremendous Bible teacher or, you know, some guy that is able to really shell the corn and lay it out. That's not how you know these things. You can't ever know the things of God in that fashion. Now, you can know some things. You can learn a lot of stuff. You can read a bunch of books and you can know stuff. I mean, there's plenty of folks that know way more stuff than I do or ever will know. They know stuff. But I tell you, the weakest of God's children, those that have the least understanding, they know this of what He's speaking about right here. They know. You see, the weakest of God's children who's been introduced to the glories of Christ would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Would they? Why? Because they love Him. Because they desire what He has. They wouldn't crucify Him. And that's what He says here. If they knew it, they wouldn't have done it. But they didn't know it. Because God didn't design for them to know it. But He has appointed these things before the world unto our glory. Now, we've already talked about that. And we're going to begin reading in there in 9. But as is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now, He's prepared them for us. What? An understanding of the grace of God in the depths of our soul. To know that it's Christ in Christ alone. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Never been a sinner saved that didn't pray that didn't know those words in the depths of his soul. Now, he might not have known all the ramifications of them in his head, but he knew them in his soul. He knew there was no Savior but Christ. He knew that there was no possible way of deliverance except the Lord delivered him. He knew he didn't have it within his power to save himself. And this has been prepared for them that love him. And we love him because he first loved us. But God hath revealed them. Look at that. God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. He has shown us these things. He has opened our eyes. He has made us to see things that other people cannot see. Things that people cannot see by nature. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. You see, all knowledge of holy things must come from God. It can't be learned any other way. Can't be taught any other way. But by revelation. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Now, we talked about this last week. I mean, that's the way men know the things of the world. I mean, you learn how to fish by somebody teaching you how to fish. I mean, people don't grow up just knowing how to fish. Somebody's got to show you how to fish and teach you things. And those things that the spirit of a man knows because he's taught them. And you can teach somebody else the things that are taught of the spirit of a man. What things can they know of the spirit of a man? All right, but look at the contrast. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man. Men don't come into the world knowing God. They don't come into the world knowing one thing about God. Now, I believe this is a true thing. I think it is intuitive to men that they know there is a God. I think a man has to learn that there's not a God. I think every man is born knowing that there is a God. Now, that won't do him any good. That in itself, I mean, it's knowledge, but it won't do him any more good to know there's a God than that he knows that's a tree. But that's not spiritual truth, you see. Now, some people want to talk about things that, oh, well, that's spiritual. You know, I've heard people talk about, oh, well, I'm spiritual. That's the spiritual side of man. Well, there is a carnal spiritual side of men. We are body, soul, and spirit. And so there is a spiritual side of men, but it's not the spiritual things of which this is talking about. Some people say, well, you know, I'm a very spiritual person. Have you ever had people tell you that? And then they get to talking about dream catchers or some kind of junk, you know, like that. I mean, they're talking about some, they're into Buddhism or they're into meditation. All sorts of things. Oh, I'm spiritual. Well, that's not spiritual. What he's talking about here is being spiritual, because the things of which he's speaking about here cannot be attained by men, regardless of how hard they try to get it or who tells them about it. But these things are revealed. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Now, what he's speaking about here is that we have been given a revelation from God. Now, we're born with the things of the world, are we not? So he's not saying somehow or other we have escaped learning the things of the world or being in the world or loving the world as natural men. He's not saying that. He's saying that's not the purpose of what the Lord has come to teach us. But we have received not the spirit of the world. We already had that. You didn't need to get the spirit of the world. You didn't need for somebody to teach you to act like Adam, did you? You were born knowing that. You were born knowing how to lie. I mean, your mama never sat you down and said, now, son, when you get yourself in a jam, then here's what you need to do. Don't tell the truth. No, she never had to tell you that, because you already knew that. That was rooted in the depths of your soul. And the first time that you had the opportunity to exercise it, you said, well, no, I didn't do that. No. Because, you see, you didn't receive that from the Spirit of God. You received it from the natural man, just the way you are. And so, but we've not received those things. That is, by the grace of God, having seen what we've seen from the Lord, we now see what those things are. And we don't welcome them as spiritual men. We welcome them as carnal men. Now, unfortunately, as Paul points out in the 7th chapter of Romans, we're still dragging around this old corpse of a natural man with us that'll be with us till the day that we die. And he's constantly reminding us of the things of the spirit of a man. And he's constantly telling us now this'll be the better way. Doesn't he? I mean, that spiritual stuff is all right. But I mean, there comes a time when you got to forget all that. And you've got to act like a man. That what the flesh says? Well, of course it does. But we've not received it, Paul said. That's not the thing we received from the Spirit. See, the Spirit never taught us to hate one another, did he? The Spirit never taught us not to have a forgiving spirit, did he? I mean, did the Spirit of God ever come to you in a dream in the middle of the night and said, you can forgive your brother 27 times, but on the 28th time, buddy, that's the end of it. That's what Peter thought, didn't he? Because who thinks that way? The natural man. See, the natural man shows the work of the law written in his heart every day. Every man believes in an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Doesn't he? You watch a bunch of little kids in a daycare or whatever. And one of them goes over there and gets a toy that one of them is playing with. Now, do they say, okay, Johnny, you play with that for a while? No, what do they say? No, that's mine. Now, later on, he'll probably go over there and take Johnny's toy, you know, and it'll be the same thing. You see, he knows that he doesn't necessarily think in his mind that it would be wrong for him to go over there and take Johnny's toy. But he's convinced of this, that it's wrong for Johnny to come over there and take his toy. Yeah, he shows the work of the law written in his heart. And when somebody does something to him, what does he want to do? He wants to do something back to them. I mean, did the Spirit of God ever come to you and say, you know, so-and-so's mistreated you, and you need to get back at him? Now, you need to scheme and plan and figure out a way that you can give him his comeuppance. Did you ever receive that from the Spirit of God? No. You receive that from your old natural man. And your natural man, he'll tell you that every day. He will convince you, if he can, that what I'm telling you and what the Spirit, what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying is not correct. Because it just doesn't seem right. I mean, the Lord, think of the astonishing words that the Lord Jesus Christ came to and gave to the Pharisees, and they couldn't receive it. They didn't receive it. He said, if a man sues you at the law to take away your coat, countersue and take his coat and his car and everything else. Did he say that? No. He said, if a man sues you at the law to take away your coat, give him your cloak also. And if he compels you to go with him a mile, go with him too. Now that just doesn't make any sense, does it? And if he smites you on the right cheek, turn to him the left. Now let me ask you a question. Has your old natural man ever taught you such things as that? I mean, not a bit. But has the Spirit of God ever taught you that that is not correct? No, it hasn't. You see, the Spirit of God confirms the words of Jesus Christ. And those are true things. And any principle that goes against that which Jesus Christ has set forth cannot be the truth. And it cannot be from the Lord. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now the world doesn't. See, the world sees the teachings of Christ when He said that, and they say, well, you've got to take that with a grain of salt. You got to kind of, you know, not deny it, but you've got to kind of not really put it into practice either, because, you know, you can't live like that. Oh, is that right? Well, that's not what the Scripture says. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Man's wisdom will never teach you the things of God or that the things of God are right. And you can never receive the things of God by the understanding of the flesh, because the flesh is contrary to it. And you can't ever say, if a man sues me at the law to take away my coat, I'm going to give him my cloak also. It's just not in you to do it. You see, that's what the Spirit, the realm of the Spirit of God is. Now, when the Lord was saying those things, He wasn't giving out legal advice. He wasn't telling you, you know, what to do legally. What He was telling you was what the kingdom, how the kingdom of God operates and the principles upon which the kingdom of God operates. And I'll tell you this, you can't lay your head on the pillow at night as a child of God and the Spirit of God be working in you, both the will and to do of His good pleasure, and you ever convince your spiritual man that what Christ said to be true is not true. Can't do it. I mean, you can come at it any direction you want to do it. And when it all comes back down to it, He's right. You see, how do we know that? Because the Spirit of God has taught us that. Now, I didn't say that everybody that's taught of the Spirit of God always does the right thing. Unfortunately, as Paul says, the good that I would, I don't do. And the things that I know not to do, things I often do. But dear brethren, what Paul's saying here is we have not received that line of thought, but we have received those things that the Spirit of God has taught us. Those are the things. You see, we've received it from Him, and He has taught us these things. And they are written in our hearts just as much as the law is written in our hearts. In a natural sense. That's what, because you see, Paul said, the good that I would. Now, what did he say there? He said, the good that I would, I do not. Remember what the Lord said to the disciples when he came back and he upbraided them for, he said, couldn't you watch with me for an hour? You think that they were sitting there saying, well, Lord, you go on over there and we're just going to go over here and take a nap. No, they started off, buddy. They was going to stand with Him, weren't they? But they didn't. And when He came back, what did He say? Did He curse them and say, get on away from me. You can't do it. He said, no. He said, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, dear brethren, we all are dwelling in a weak flesh. And if our concept and our mind is to follow and turn to the flesh and listen to the flesh, then that's just what we'll be. Now, how will we escape that? Will we escape it because we're just going determined to do it? But I'm going to pray. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to do it. I'm going to become spiritually strong. What's going to happen? You're going to be just like the disciples. Spirit's going to be willing, but the flesh is weak. Brethren, the flesh is weak. Now, is that an excuse? Because you see, we come over here and we read this, that's not what we are. And Paul said the good that I would, because he would do that. It wasn't that he disregarded it and said, well, I'll just go off and do whatever I want to. No, you see, when the Spirit of God works in a man, he knows. And that's where the grief of his heart comes. It's not because things he did that he didn't know about. I mean, you do things every day that you never know about and probably never will know about. Things that you shouldn't have done that you did. See, that's not the things that the Spirit of God is working on you about. The things that the Spirit of God works on His people about is the things they do know about. I mean, I could say, you know, buddy, I'm strong. I don't smoke. I've overcome that. I'll tell you how to do it. Just don't smoke. Just don't smoke. Well, you know, it's easy for me to say that because I got no desire whatsoever to smoke. Never have. I never saw what anybody wanted to do it for. Okay? I mean, I've smoked a few cigarettes, and that was I couldn't stand it. I still to this day don't see what people get out of it. But that's not way. You see, it's easy for me to deal with that. But the Spirit of God not dealing with me about that. Why? Because I'm not having a problem with it. See, the Spirit of God works in His people, making them aware of the things He would have them aware of. Now, you know, I can't say that everybody that smokes, the Spirit of God is convicting them about it. I don't know if He is or not. I can't say that He is. I mean, I can't rake a brother over the coals because he smokes, because I don't think it's a good thing to do. Now, I don't think it's a good thing. I don't think it's a good thing to do health-wise. I don't think it's a good thing to do for a lot of places. I can tell him this, however. As Paul said, as the Spirit of God says, he said, I will use the things of the world lawfully, but he says, I will not be brought under the power of any. And so while I believe that a person can use any substance in the world without condemnation, I believe that the Spirit of God would teach us not to be controlled by any of them. Don't make a difference what it is. You know, and when a man is in control, is not in control, he's in control. The flesh has overcome him. And he is in a place of weakness. Which things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, we're not comparing spiritual things with carnal. You know, we don't smoke and we don't chew and we don't go with girls who do. That's not comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, is it? No. Because that would be trying to compare spiritual things with carnal things. Those are not the same thing. No, he's not talking about that. Do we love one another? Do we forgive one another? Do we bear one another's burdens? Because you see, Paul said, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You see, there is a law against the things of the flesh. You realize everything that the flesh desires to do, there's a law against of some kind. It may be a health law. You know, it may be like if we love to eat, but there's a law against that. If you're overeating, there's a law against it. Now, I know there's a spiritual side of that, but I'm talking about there's a carnal law against overeating. You eat the wrong kind of foods and it's going to clog up your arteries and you're going to, you know, it's going to ruin your health. So there are laws. Everything that the flesh desires to do, there's a law against. But do you know what the Scripture says about the things of the Spirit of God? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness. He says, against such there is no law. Dear brethren, we've been made free in Christ. There's no law against these things. You can love somebody to the nth degree. You can forgive somebody to the nth degree. The Lord will never say to you, you shouldn't have forgiven them. Now, I've heard preachers say, well, you shouldn't forgive somebody until they ask you. That's the biggest bunch of baloney that ever was. What if the Lord waited to forgive us till we asked Him? I mean, we'd be in a mess. Dear brother, forgiveness is not an activity. Forgiveness is a state of mind. As ye have been forgiven, so forgive those that trespass against you. That is the law of Christ. You see, and that can't be received in the natural mind because that's just not, it's contrary to us. But we've not received it by that, in that fashion. We didn't receive it in the flesh. We didn't receive it in the way of man's wisdom. But the Holy Ghost teaches comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Because these things are spiritual and they can only be understood spiritually and they can't be put into practice except spiritually. And the fruits that they bear. You know, there's no shortage of those that tell folks, if you go out here and you do all these things, the Lord will bless you. I mean, you know, you do this and you'll get God's blessings. You give your money and you'll get God's blessings and all of that stuff. And that's how the natural man thinks. See, you can tell folks that all day long and the natural man will receive it at all. But you see, the Spirit teaches us to do the things that we do because we love Him. And I'm telling you, anything that you ever seek to perform unto the glory of God that's not done simply because you desire to glorify His name is of the flesh. I don't care how much you say you want to do it or whatever, if that's not the motivation. If you're trying to get something by doing it or avoid something by not doing it, then you're just acting in the flesh. Because that's not comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, and this is the summation of it right here, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Now there is plenty of preachers today that will tell you everything I've told you is foolishness. Because brother, you've got to take the bull by the horns. You've got to get out here and you've got to work at this thing. And you've got to put pressure on people to do stuff. And you've got to hang a sword over their head and say, if you don't do this, why the wrath's going to fall on you and all of that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. But the spiritual man, listen to this, neither can he know them because he's spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Now, how does he judge them? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. See, he understands that the realm of the flesh is not the realm of the Spirit. He understands that those things that God has taught us are true. Those things that the Lord Jesus Christ has set forth are sure. The natural man never can. He that spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. That is, he's not put in the court of man's judgment. We don't care. I mean, you know, it doesn't make any difference to the man who is spiritual what those who are unspiritual should say. Doesn't mean we're unkind. I mean, you couldn't be approving of the things that are spiritual if you thought it was right to be unkind to people. I mean, was the Lord Jesus Christ ever unkind? I can't find any record of it. Now, He spoke the truth, and it might have seemed unkind to some, but it wasn't. He wasn't trying to be unkind. He was pointing out what the truth was. Yet he himself is judged of no man. Yet think of the contrast here. The most spiritual man that ever walked on the face of the earth was brought into the court of man's public opinion and he was roundly condemned. And that's the illustration of exactly what we're seeing here right here. Just as much as the world, the religious world especially, at the time of Christ, just as much as they hated the teachings of Christ, the way of Christ. This is an illustration, dear brethren, of how much the world hates the message that Paul is setting forth right here. That this is a spiritual warfare, dear brethren, that we have been called to enter into. And we've been given our marching orders by the one who has sent the Spirit into the world to lead us to what? all truth. Not some truth, but all truth. Now, where is the truth? Where does the truth reside? Only one place. He said it. From his own lips, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You want to know what the truth is? It's Jesus Christ. You want to know how you ought to act? You want to know what the right thing to do in a certain situation is? Look to Christ, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. Who, when he was persecuted, prayed for those that despitefully used him. No, this is not the way of the world, dear brethren. It's not the way of natural men. But the men of the world can't judge it. They can't figure it out. We're judged on those men. They're not. The court of public opinion makes no difference. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? How could men ever improve on that which the Lord has set forth? Now listen to what he says in conclusion. But we have the mind of Christ. Now I've heard some try to make that out like, well, you know, we've somehow or other inherited this the mind of God. That's not what it's saying. Now we know Christ is God, but he's not saying now you have the mind of God. You're out here and you everything you say and see and do and whatever it is right. But it means we've been taught the things of the mind of Christ, as he said, pray for them that despitefully use you. This is the mind of Christ. You've been given that. You've been taught that. You see, the Spirit of God revealed that to you. And now be sure of this, that every opponent that's ever set against the people of God in this world is set directly against that. And the greatest enemy that you have, you don't have to go outside of your house to see him. All you've got to do is look in the mirror every morning. And he's right there, staring back at you. And he says, I'm going to get you today. He says, I'm going to teach you some things today. But dear brethren, we have the mind of Christ. He's given it to us. He's revealed it to us. He's shown us the truth. May He give us grace to walk in it. May He give us grace every day to reject the things of the world. See, that's one thing. I mean, that's one thing He's told us to do, is to be not of the world. The natural man says, you know, the Lord put all these things down here for us to enjoy. And He did. But what did Paul say? Use the world, don't abuse the world. He said, use it lawfully. He said, all things are lawful to me. Is there anything that can bring me into condemnation? Nothing in the world. If I belong to Christ, dear brethren, I am without the possibility of condemnation. But what did Paul say? He said, but all things are not expedient. He said, all things are not helpful. All things are not useful. All things don't bring glory to God in that respect. Now, we know all things do bring glory to God in the ultimate aspect of things. Jacob, what Jacob did, that wasn't a God-honoring activity on the part of Jacob, was it? But the Lord used it unto His glory. And so, may the Lord help us and show us what it is to be taught by the Spirit of God.